and just check it's going. So I have to start saying, I'm Marsha Marnie, and I'm here today at...
Robertson.
Robertson. Robertson. Pan Robertson. And it is Thursday, the 20th...
21st.
Thursday, the 21st of March, 2019. Thank you, Pam. Pam Robertson.
35th anniversary of my father dying, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a long time.
I'm just going to pop that there, Pam.
Right.
Now, it's really helps for, because this is going to become an archive, really helps if you could just give me your date of birth as well. So, Pam, can you tell me, where are you born?
In Cardiff.
Yeah.
Near Victoria Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I lived there till my husband... Well, I went to Aberystwyth University for 3 years, and then we got married, and then we lived in... up at the farm, Flathome Farm, in Pennyland... Pennyland Bayside.
So you went to university, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, that was... What, so you were, what, in the 50s?
56.
So was that quite unusual then?
I don't think so, no.
No?
No.
What did you do at university?
Agricultural science, followed by a postgraduate diploma in dairying.
Okay.
And it was in the dairy industry then that I spent my working life.
What were you doing?
I was head of the laboratory. We had a big milk processing plant here. I didn't know whether you knew that, but
go
to the end of this lane, turn right, and there are new houses on your right,
yeah.
And that's where the dairy was, yes. And I was in charge of the laboratory.
So was that the National Milk Marketing Board?
No, that was United Dairies.
Okay.
And then my claim to fame, if I have one, is that I made the first yoghurt to be sold commercially in South Wales.
You did?
Yeah, because I went up to the head laboratory in London when they were experimenting with this stuff that had come, actually from Bulgaria it came, and I thought it was horrible. Well, I still think it's horrible. I never touch yoghurt now. And we made yoghurt, and then I came back to Marshfield, and we produced it there. And initially it was sold in Swansea. The first lot we made. The first lot we made was 500 little of those third pint pots with a wide rim. And when I left there, they were doing 1,500 a day. So, yeah, that was where the yoghurt came from originally.
In Marshfields? Mm. What year was this?
1961.
That's incredible. And this was with, is it United Dairy?
Cambrian United Dairies, that was, yes, which is one of the outlets for United Dairies, which was the biggest then, the biggest company, milk company in the country, yeah.
So did you get a claim at the time for doing that?
No, just did as I was told.
Goodness.
Oh, we had some fun with that yoghurt. Anyway.
What do you mean you had some fun with it?
Because Muggins decided that if we could make plain yoghurt, we could make strawberry yoghurt. So I got strawberry syrup in, and that was brown, a horrible shade of brown. I used to call it calf shit brown. And we got in lactose, and we replaced the normal sugar with the lactose and this strawberry syrup, and it was this horrible pale brown liquid. So I went to Tesco's, which was in High Street in Newport then, and I bought up all the cochineal they had. And instead of adding it a drop at the time, I chucked the lot in.
Oh,
and suddenly the colour of those candles water turned out. Chuck it down the drain, having got one of my staff to watch that the dairy manager didn't see me. Start all over again. Go to Tesco's for more cochineal, but I'd already bought it all, so they didn't have it. Up to Asda, got that cochineal, and then I did add it a drop at the time till I got the right colour. We had some fun with that yoghurt. Oh, dear, dear, dear. It was heated in a big vat. It was a double line big vat with hot water running in between the layers to heat it up.
Mm.
And I turned on the steam one day to heat it up, went to do something, forgot all about it. And when I came back, there's all this yogurt all bubbling. Chuck that away and start again. Oh, with this, the things we did with that yogurt was hilarious.
So when it was launched, do you remember when it was launched?
That would have been it, 1961, yeah. It went first to Swansea, and then I don't know when the supermarkets picked it up, because in those days it was just either plain yogurt, which was quite, I would describe it as a clean taste, but sharp. Mm. Then, of course, the yogurt that they make now doesn't bear any relation to that at all. Mm. And I've never eaten the stuff since, because I've had such a time tasting every flipping batch that I don't want yogurt anymore. Never have yogurt. The only time I have it is if I'm actually given it as a sweet. And yeah, in fact, I went to my friend and she had Tesco's finest raspberry yogurt, and it was gorgeous. And I've looked since and I can't find it in Tesco's anywhere, so I've given up on that. I think I can live without yogurt.
That's quite something, though, actually, I think, that you were you created the first yogurt in Wales.
South Wales.
South Wales.
Yeah.
That's quite something.
I don't know about North Wales.
In Marshfields.
Yeah.
So was it a big unit? Was it a big factory here?
Oh, massive. A really massive milk factory.
Yeah.
Mainly bottled milk, and we used to send 30,000 gallons a day to London in the milk tankers, you know, from the railway.
Really?
We had a little tanker that went back and forward filling these big tankers for the railway.
What, from Newport? It would go from Newport?
From Marshfield. The siding was here.
Yeah.
And then it just got hooked up to a goods train or something and ended up in London.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
So yeah. Where did all the milk come?
Where did it start off? Nowadays they collect milk in big tankers.
Mm.
But in those days they were in churns. And it was pretty well the whole of Monmouthshire and part of Glamorgan. How many farmers would it have been? Round about between 50 and 60 farmers. And the milk used to come in churns, and that was it. And then it went into the bin. It was pasteurised and bottled.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Mm. So how many people were working there?
Ooh, crumbs, I don't know. I don't know. I had 7 in the laboratory, 3 on the out. Probably between 50 and 60. Yeah. It would have been, that's just a rough estimate, because I'm really never thought about how many were there. Yeah.
So when did it close?
Right. Oh, it's certainly more than 10 years ago. I don't know. Let's just say within the last 20 years, that sort of time, and then they built all the big houses.
So that would have been, they would have been lots of dairy farmers. All their milk would have gone there.
Yeah.
And it would have been processed there.
Yeah.
And then either gone into milk bottles.
That's it.
Sent to London or made into products.
The milk was sent in tankers to London.
Yeah.
But it went into, as you say, bottles. And the company had depots all, you know, where the driver would take all the bottled milk, and from there it went to the milkman who, in those days, delivered it, which they don't anymore.
No, that's just an example of something that's gone, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. Very few people, I think, get milk delivered.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I insist on just supporting. At the end of my road, there is a dairy.
Ah, right.
And I want to support it.
Fair enough,
I can, you know.
Oh, yes.
So what sort of place was it like to work in? And
I enjoyed it. It was fine, yeah. Mm. I was my own boss. I had to... I had all the power in the world. If I didn't like what was happening, I could just stop it all, stop the bottling dead and get to the cause of whatever was, was happening. We had a chap who was a troubleshooter, and a woman rang up to say that there was half a mouse in a bottle of milk. So if that had got into the papers, so we sent this chap along and we sent him with a massive crate of tin peaches and tin this and tin that and tin the other to take this lady. And he, his instruction was that even if he had to kill her, he had to bring that bottle back with the mountain. Because we didn't want her calling the public out. It was a good thing she did call us first.
Yeah.
And anyway, he did get the bottle out. And there's the back half of this mouse with a long... Oh, God.
Oh,
it just, it was disgusting. What had happened was that it must have been in the bottle before it was washed. And the washing didn't get it out of the bottle. And then it got filled up with milk. And that's what happened.
Poor woman. What a thing to find.
I don't think I'd have been very happy. No.
So you would get hundreds of bottles, thousands of bottles.
Oh, thousands,
in every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was your job to make sure everything was sterile and...
That's it. And the chemical composition was right and the bacterial composition was right, yes. Yeah.
See?
We started at 5 in the morning and went right through till about 10 at night in shifts.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as I'm thinking from my perspective, that's quite a responsible position for a woman in the early 60s.
Yeah, it was, yes.
Were you a bit of a trailblazer?
Oh, yeah. I never thought of myself as a trailblazer. But, yeah, we had one man in our office. He was a student, and he was, in fact, the son of one of the princes in one of the minor African countries. And he was a student here, and we were short of staff. Two of ours had left on maternity leave, and the man said, the only one I can offer you that's got a reasonable brain is, I can't even remember his name, but anyway, this chap. He was wonderful. He was really, really lovely.
Really?
And in the end, nobody was bothering to use a pipette after him or anything. He was just
really?
A really nice bloke.
You don't remember what country he was from?
No, it was a minor African country, and I...
Yeah.
But I can't remember. I would have known at the time, but I can't remember it now.
God.
Yep.
So were you living in Marshfields when you were working?
No, I was living in Whitchurch. And I had a Vespa scooter, and I used to get back and forward on that.
Did you?
I had a car first.
Yeah.
No, hang on, which did I have? I had the Vespa scooter first, then the car, yes. A big old Austin Devon.
How far is Whitchurch from here?
Outskirts of Cardiff. 6-8 miles, I suppose.
Hmm. That was a lovely cup of tea, thank you.
Oh, good.
So were you married then when you were working?
I married in 1958, so it was in the middle of the, yeah.
So what did your husband think about you working there?
Oh, he didn't worry.
Didn't he?
No. He had his tractor and his hedge cutter and he used to go around. Oh, first of all, he used to start at 5 in the morning and drive a milk lorry just for one delivery. And then he'd finish about 10 and then get on his tractor and cut hedges and ploughed fields and all the rest of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. So how long were you here for?
married in 63. We lived then in a house, it's on the same level as this, but towards the main road,
yeah.
Tinnanant. And we moved there from there in 81, up to the farm, and then moved down here 8 years ago.
Okay. So, you and your husband, you spent some of your married life here? In this area?
Yes, we did, yes.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of it, actually. All
yeah.
our kids were born there, yeah.
Oh, really? So what, in Marshfields?
Not Marshfield, Coedcerny, which is the next village along.
I must have passed through that, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it again, Pam?
Coedcerny.
Coedcerny.
Cernu's Wood, so whoever...
Oh, is it?
Whoever Coedcerny was. As you came from... Newport, I presume, along the A48.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't notice, but just before you get to Castleton, there's a car place on your left-hand side selling cars.
Yeah.
That then was the garage where I worked.
Really?
Yeah.
After the dairy?
Yeah.
So you were at the dairy, so that must have been quite a big employer for the area, was it?
Yes, but then I had my children, so... and then by then, we had 14 JCBs then. We kept adding JCBs to do the work, so I then was sort of full-time in the office and with the kids.
Okay.
Doing the invoicing and whatnot.
And that was at Coy Cernu?
Yeah, that was, yes.
So what was it? I mean, imagine the place has been developed massively over the last 20, 30 years. What was it like when you first married and your children were young?
It's not much has happened in Newport. Where it's Cardiff that's done the expansion, and Newport's pretty well stayed the same.
Mm.
Mm. But Cardiff have come right to the boundaries of them, between them and Newport.
Yeah.
And every time you go out, there's more houses being built. There are a lot from, you know, now toward... It all used to be green fields going to Cardiff, but now, of course, it's all houses.
It's all been developed.
Yeah.
So when your children are young, did you have places to play in the fields and rings?
Well, this was it. We had... We lived right at the end of a lane that only ended in our house. So the kids could run wild in the fields, which they did.
Yeah.
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 And then they rigged up a swing with just a bar of wood that they sat on and from one of our trees, and they made their own fun. They will all say now that they had a marvellous childhood because they were so free.
Mm.
When they went to school, I had to teach them road sense. Because they'd never had it. Because we'd get in a car in, you know, inside the house and drive somewhere. And I had to teach them, you know, look right, look left, look right again, and then walk across the road.
Really?
Because they didn't. And my daughter nearly got killed. Oh, boy. I went to meet her from school, and I was coming down the road, and the school's the other side of the road. She was on the pavement. She saw my van, and she just shot out right in front of this woman in a Morris Minor. And she jammed on the brakes, and she actually did touch Dawn, but that was Dawn's fault, because Dawn sort of staggered. Mm. And I thought she was going to be killed, because I could see this car coming up. But
what an awful thing
but
to
But she survived.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Did you have reens on your land then?
Hey?
Reens.
Rings?
Reens, you know, with the water channels.
Yeah.
The ditches, yes.
Yeah.
Did you have to maintain those?
No. No, we didn't. We had to, we had a stream that ran past our house, but it was, so really, no, the reeds were down here and the streams ran into it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't have to do any of that.
So your husband had, or you both had a JCB business,
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, and you built that up over several years?
Yes, and the last big job we worked on was the Bute Town Tunnels in Cardiff. We had 6 JCBs on that right from the time it started till the time it finished.
So
yeah.
when would that have been, Pam?
Oh, hang on, let me think. The 1990s. Martin died in 98, it was before that, in the 1980s, I suppose, and the start of the 1990s, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would have kept him busy for some time.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was a long job, that one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were 6 JCBs on that all the time, yeah.
So he did work, he must have done work on other developments in...
Yeah, all over the place, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what sort of stories did he have, or did he... come back and tell you. You're telling me
nothing really
about the boat.
Oh, that one when he went through the boat. Yeah, that was before the JCBs. Either when we were, I think we were married then, but only just. And he worked for the drainage board. And I don't know whether you know the Six Bells pub in Peterson.
Yeah.
And past there, where the rain was, he dug through, and it was like a canoe, and he dug right through it. And the archaeologist came, he told his boss, and the archaeologist came out and had a look and decided it was very, very old. And they wanted to get it right out, but the owner of the farm wouldn't let them dig it out.
Really?
So I presume it's still there.
Why?
Yeah. So, yeah, but how old it was, they really didn't know, but it was very, very old, yeah.
Gosh.
It must have been really to be, you know, where it was, yes.
Yeah. So your husband worked for the drainage board?
Yeah, before we started out on our own, yeah.
Yeah? So what sort of jobs was he doing then for the drainage
board? Oh, he had a big excavator and virtually just cleaning out between Cardiff and Newport and Chepstow. and just cleaning out the ditches.
So when the reams. So this would have been, what, the late 50s?
Yes, that would have been, yeah.
So they would have been quite basic machines then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He rode a motorbike to work, and his excavator, it wasn't his, it was what Perpignan worked for. That was parked the other side of Newport every night, and so he used to go across the, you know, Newport's transporter bridge. He used to go with his motorbike across there.
Really?
So, yeah. That was being opened very early in the morning, and in those days that's what it did, was carry workmen. But of course now it's just a tourist attraction. Yeah.
Oh gosh, so he went across there on his motorbike.
Yeah. Yep, he rode his motorbike everywhere. And when he wasn't riding it, I was.
You really?
Oh yeah.
But with a helmet or a headscarf?
Helmet, always a helmet, yes.
Ah.
Always.
Mm.
A white one with a black peak. I can even remember picturing it now,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you know the levels well then? I mean, do you call it the levels or the moors?
Both.
Both.
I would probably call it the moors. I don't know much about the other side of Newport, but I do know this end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what other things do you know about this end that might help people use?
Has anyone ever told you about the Balaclava pub? No.
No.
If you go up the Marshfield Road and you've got a right-hand bend, before that bend, there was a pub called the Balaclava, and it was run by Ansells, the brewers, and behind the Balaclava was a big distribution depot of Ansells.
Yeah.
And then eventually got demolished. We all went there one Christmas Eve from the dairy. We went there lunchtime. We got plastered, all of us. And we came back down to the dairy. And up in the laboratory, we had one of the directors, Mr. Rayner, with us. And we went into the laboratory. And he just laid flat on the floor. And he had a silby hat. And he just put it on his face like this and went fast asleep. And all the afternoon, we had to step over him. It was hilarious. Oh, dear, dear, dear. It was so funny. Yeah, that was when the Balaclava. I can't remember when it got demolished, quite a long time ago.
What about church? Did you go to church here? Or where did you...
I didn't go to church here. I go to church in... Do you know the Kep Mably pub?
No.
It's the other side of the main road anyway, in the village called Michaelston. And I go to St. Michael's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also join the Baptists, and we don't have a service on a Sunday evening, so I usually join the Baptists for their service because they're just in, you know, in Marshfield.
So are there any traditions or stories that are associated with this area? Because somebody told me something about roping, so at the wedding you'd have a rope across the entrance.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. I didn't know that. This lane was called Market Road in those days.
Yeah.
And if you go along this lane, not far past here, on the left-hand side is a derelict building, all with sheets of tin and whatnot built. And that was the market, the cattle market, before they moved to Newport.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
When was this?
When I was working in the dairy, so in the 1950s.
So you remember Market Day here?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what was that like? It must have been very busy.
Traffic everywhere. Yes, it was. And, yeah, I remember the market being here. And then, of course, they moved to Newport. And then very recently, in the last, I don't know, 10 years, I suppose, the cattle market closed and they've got a big Asda there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the big, there's one at Raglan now, isn't there?
Yes.
Big...
Yeah, that's where... the business from Newport Market moved to Raglan, yeah.
So there's a sidings here.
Yeah.
So would cattle and livestock come on the train?
No, they'd only come in trailers or horse boxes, no.
So
it was only the milk that ever went from here.
So what sort of livestock came to market, do you remember?
Oh, cattle and sheep. Yeah. Lots of cattle, lots of sheep, yeah.
Do you remember the auction ring? Was there an auction ring or were there just pens? And...
I didn't in that time have any. I worked at the dairy in that time and I didn't have any animals of my own, so I really wasn't interested. And then, of course, when it moved to Newport, then we used to sell our lambs through there, and and bought the odd ram or the odd ewe or whatever.
So I came along this lane.
Yeah.
So there is like a big old barn there.
That's it.
And that was
the cattle market. Yes.
Cattle market.
Yeah. If you have an aerial photo on from Google Earth, you can see the marks where the pens were outside it.
Oh gosh.
You can't from the ground level, but one of my neighbours Googled it, and it was amazing. Really prominent. You could see where the pens used to stand.
So was it all outside then?
Yeah, apart from the auction ring, which was undercover. Yeah.
So was market day one day a week, or was it several days?
No, one day a week.
What day? Do you remember what day?
I don't remember. It would probably be in the same year as it was in Newport. In Newport, it was Wednesday, so I would imagine it was probably Wednesday here as well.
So was it difficult to move for traffic and people and buses?
Well, it didn't. It didn't affect me because I was in work before anyone, and I went home after the livestock. And a lot used to come from the what we call the low road, so they would have come over the bridge, and you know, before they got here and turned down the lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's called Market Lane colloquially.
It was.
Yeah.
It isn't now. Everyone calls it T-Mile Lane, but I always knew it as Market Road.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
When it got called Timar, I haven't a clue. Not a clue.
Any other places that have got names that are local that aren't?
No, I don't think so. In Marshfield, the first place you come to now is Pentoon Terrace, and that was built for the dairy workers when they first opened the dairy.
Yeah.
And then we get to Marysfield Close again for dairy workers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did the dairy open then?
I don't know. I really don't know. Mm. All I know was when I joined it, the woman who was in charge of the lab before me had been there 14 years. So it would have been back into the 1940s and probably beyond then. I really don't know.
Gosh. Mm. So it was quite a big business.
Oh, it was big, yes. Yeah. Yes, it was big, yeah.
So did most people who worked there, did they come locally or did they come further afield?
Most of them were local, yes. Mm-hmm. And when we had snow, I had Land Rover tyres on the back of my car, and it was my job to go down and around the outlying buildings and bring the workers into work, because mine was the only vehicle that would go down there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the big snow in 1963.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you even had snow here then?
Oh, crumbs, yes. We didn't half have snow here, yeah.
Because it doesn't... I was told it's very... Not very often you'll get snow.
No,
here.
We had no snow this year, and I don't think we had any last year. But then the snow was packed on the main road, on the A48, till March. And it was just packed snow that we were driving on all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So what was it like down here at Marshfield?
Much the same as the main road, because you have quite heavy traffic down here. Mm. But when you got down to the bottom, there weren't many vehicles that could go along the bottom road, because that was pretty bad. But my old car could do it. She'd chug through anything. Yep.
So you had the dairy and you had the cattle market one time. So was there a finished shop and things like that then?
Yes, we had the shop, the same shop as in Marshfield now.
Okay.
And it's been altered and extended and whatnot. And it's a very good shop.
Yeah.
You could live out of that shop apart from fresh veg. They keep potatoes in, but no other fresh veg.
Yeah.
But then they've got a pharmacy, the pharmacy and the post office and general. Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about flooding? Have you ever had flooding here?
Eh?
Flooding.
Not here, but when we lived at Tin and Ant, as I say, Coedcernu, when they built the motorway, 1966, they put all the drainage from the construction into the stream that ran past our house. And our house, if you can imagine it, our house was there, and the stream used to come right round our house. Mm. And in 1975 it was, it had rained so much that the stream couldn't take it, so instead of going round our house, it came straight through our house, and we were flooded up to about a depth of, not over our Wellington, but about that much. And the house was like that for, oh crumbs, probably a week.
So what happened?
Fortunately, we'd bought this old cottage and converted it ourselves and built on a kitchen and bathroom. And my husband had had the electric plugs put at waist high instead of down. So we were okay for electric, you see, because there's nothing below that. But we were wearing Wellingtons in the house. And then when we went to bed, there was row of Wellingtons halfway up the stairs.
Oh, God.
It was horrible. It was absolutely awful, yeah.
Did you get compensation?
Our house was insured, and the contents and everything. Fortunately, with the company that my father worked for.
Mm.
And so we got the price of a new carpet. What we actually did was had our carpet hung up and dried and put back down again. We steam cleaned it, you know, while it was hung up. But we had the price of a new carpet, so we did quite well out of it, actually. And the price of the furniture as well, which we simply dried and kept on using. And so we did make quite a couple of bob out of that. I can't remember how much, but it was...
But the motorway constructors, they didn't say, oh, sorry.
No. They didn't want to know.
So you remember the area before the motorway went in?
Yep.
What was it like?
Like it is now, except for the motorway. Yeah, it was just, I had some friends whose house had to be demolished, you know, right in the path of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we worked on that with the JCBs for quite a long time, yeah.
So you had some friends whose house was compulsory purchase?
Yeah.
So what was that like for them? Was it difficult?
I don't remember. I know that they had to move and they didn't move, and I think the compensation they had was good.
Right.
But I don't really remember much about it, except that their house was bang slap in the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. So was there any opposition to the motorway going through?
I don't remember there being any opposition. There may well have been, but I really don't think there was.
So your husband or your company worked on the motorway?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I can claim to have driven my car the wrong way on the motorway, because I used to deliver fuel to them and whatnot on the pickup truck. And then, of course, there's no traffic anyway, so I've actually driven the wrong way down the M4.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What stretch?
Beyond Cardiff, and back then beyond Newport through the tunnels, I think back to the cauldron in the next junction back.
God, how long was were you working on it for then? I mean, I imagine there were lots of other.
Oh yes, were lots of others. Crumbs, I don't know. Probably about 2 years. Yeah.
Massive job.
Yeah, it was. It was massive, yeah.
Did they find anything when they were doing the motorway?
Don't think so. No, I don't think so. If they did, I didn't hear about it.
Mm.
Mm.
So you were up there before it even opened?
Oh, yeah.
It was your job to deliver fuel?
Yep. Yeah, that was my Thursday job. No, it wasn't. That was my Tuesday job.
Yeah.
Go around all the sites, collect all the timesheets from the drivers, give them fuel and hydraulic oil if they needed it, carried a couple of spare wheels as well in case they needed it, and that was my Tuesday job. And my Thursday job was to work out the wages, and then Friday, deliver all the wages around the sites.
Along the motorway?
Along everywhere, up as far as Bryn Mawr or all over the place, wherever they were working.
So, presumably, that was cash in little brown envelopes?
Yes, but properly done, you know, not cash in an envelope, but proper wage slips. It was all correct.
Everything was in a little brown envelope, wasn't it, with your wage slip in.
That's it,
But you wouldn't get that ever now.
I don't suppose you would.
I don't know the last time I was ever paid in cash for anything, you know, with a wage slip.
Yep.
So you would have had to go... to a bank and get all the money out?
Yes, yes, I drew the money out Friday morning and took the wages out Friday afternoon. No, Thursday afternoon I drew the money from the bank and then did the wages early Friday morning. Because it was all done manually then. Yeah. You had the national insurance tables and whatnot. And then set off round the site and deliver it.
So to get onto the motorway before it was open, did you have to have a special pass or anything like that?
No, no. There are umpteen entrances to the motorway, you know, and about every road junction you could have got on or off the motorway.
So did he help make the tunnels?
Yes. We worked on the Bringgrat tunnels, yes. And the Bute Town tunnels in Cardiff, yes.
Crikey. Yeah.
Mm.
So
the insurance for the Bute Town tunnels, I am told, but I can't see that anyone would have made it up. The insurance premium allowed for 10 men to be killed on that project.
My God. Yeah.
And my husband saw one man killed. He jumped on a dumper. What they did, they cast the roof of the tunnel first, and then everything was down through holes in the tunnel. And they were big wide holes, you know, half the size of this room. And this man jumped on a dumper because it was in his way. It wasn't his dumper. And the throttle stuck open and he went straight down the hole and was killed.
Oh my goodness.
The dumper turned over halfway down and squashed him. They think if it had gone down solidly, he might have lived. And it was awful because he had 7 children.
Oh,
really,
no.
Really tragic that was, yeah.
Oh, no. Mm.
Very tragic. And my husband saw that happen.
Oh,
it really upset him.
Yeah.
Gosh, it upset him.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
So, was it mostly local people who were working on the diggers, or did you have Irish or?
Oh, no, they were all pretty local, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either from here or from up the valleys. We had a couple of drivers from Pontypridd but mainly, you know, local, yeah.
Were you involved in the Lamb Worm construction?
No, not at all. Mm. No.
Mm.
The only thing I remember at Lamb Worm were they had hundreds of lorries delivering shale to, and I was on my Vespa scooter coming along the A48 towards Cardiff on my Vespa, and one lorry was in front of me and one lorry was right on behind me and one was there on my outside, and they were playing with me, they scared hell out of me because they were so close. And before you get to the roundabout towards Cardiff, there's a turning left, a little lane, and I shot down there.
Ooh.
But they really scared me.
Oh, horrible.
And they were having a game with me.
Really?
But if I'd stopped or swerved or anything, I wouldn't be here now.
Oh, crap.
So I shot off down the lane, and then they went on. But it scared me, really scared me.
Well, it would be, because you're so vulnerable, aren't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
What about, because they're going to do an extension, well, they want to do an extension of the M4, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any views about that?
None at all, simply because I'll be dead long before they get round to doing it. So, no, they can do what they like.
But do you ever visit the other part of the levels? Do you ever visit the levels on the other side of the estuary?
No. No, I never have.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
But, yeah.
What about Newport then, the docks? Do you remember any of that?
No, not much, because it didn't affect me at all.
Mm.
No. I've been down, and there was an engineering firm called Archway Engineering, and if we broke any bits of the diggers, they could always repair it for us. It was... Mm.
What about, was your husband or your business ever involved in the sea wall?
Oh yes, before we got married, Martin worked for the drainage board, and he did a lot of the hiring the sea wall and then with massive stones and then covering it in soil and grass and whatnot, yes.
Ah.
Yeah, he did a lot of that, yes. Because
yeah.
He's owned that sea wall between me and between us and getting flooded up to there.
I know, it's quite a thought, isn't it?
Yeah, we'd be low sea level here, yeah.
What about Do you ever think about that, being below sea level, or do you just live with it?
Don't ever think about it.
Mm.
No.
What about, did you or your husband ever go fishing?
My husband fished, yes. He fished on the River Wye, up beyond Usk.
Really?
Yeah, he salmon, fished for salmon, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he loved fishing. And I, like an idiot, went with him one day. He said, "Why didn't you come?" And I sat on that bank for hours and hours and hours and hours. Oh, no. I only did it once. I never did it again.
So no fishing off the seawall or into the reeds?
They do fish from the seawall, I believe.
Hmm.
Apparently they have caught cod and quite big fish off the seawall.
Hmm.
But I don't know who does it.
Hmm.
And they also fish along this lane.
Oh, really?
There's a massive fish in this lane, and he's been caught hundreds of times, and he's about like that, apparently. I've never seen him. I only know what people are saying.
Yeah.
And he's a massive fish, and every time they catch him, of course, they throw him back, and he's been caught. Oh, it seems that he enjoys being caught. And then having the hook taken out of his mouth and chucked back in.
Gosh,
yes.
What's this ream called? Do you know?
No, I don't. The one going down the Marshfield Road is the Broadway.
Okay.
But I don't know what this one is. Yeah. I don't think it's got a lane,
yeah.
A name. Yeah.
So they chuck the fish back in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think he's a pike. He's not an eatable fish anyway.
Yeah.
No.
What about the Severn Bridge? Were you ever involved in that?
We were involved in building the second Severn Bridge.
Yeah.
On this side of the river, we're doing the groundwork for the preparatory for building
really?
The bridge. Yeah. Yeah, we worked there for quite a long time. Yeah.
Did they find anything there?
No. Not as far as I know.
No.
Unless they didn't tell me.
So that's relatively recently, isn't it?
Yes, because the old Severn Bridge was 1966, because that was the year my eldest son was born.
Yeah.
So that was 1966. I don't know when they did this one.
Mm.
Probably the 1980s-ish.
I don't know. I
don't either.
Later, I would say
90s. You could well be right, the 90s,
yeah.
Yes.
90s,
yeah.
Definitely 90s, early 2000s maybe.
Yeah, we don't think of it as being new anymore, which
no.
We did in those days, yes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
How long were they working on the bridge for then?
I don't know, not terribly long.
Hmm.
It was a preparatory work to, going over the actual water.
Yeah.
And there's... If you go approach the bridge now, on the left-hand side, across the stretch of water, is a timber yard. And I went there once, I had to deliver something there, but I stopped and it was fascinating because they were floating a section of the bridge down
really?
The river. And I stopped and watched. I couldn't stay there all the time because, of course, it wasn't a very fast operation they had. Yeah. And I'd love to have seen them hoisted up into place, but I didn't have the time. Yeah.
So that would be a concrete plinth?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. And they lifted it up. And, and then, of course, they tarmacked over it. I mean, it was only sort of the framework of the bridge that they did.
They've tarmacked it once it was in place.
And they made those in Chepstow, the bits for the bridge, yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And one of the... we used to have a ferry across the river then.
Yeah.
One of the ferries I can't remember which one. My son did tell me because he saw it. They're restoring one of the ferries in Chepstow.
Are they?
Yep.
I didn't know that either.
And he saw it anyway.
Yeah.
And he said they were well on with them, so I presume they'll just have it at a museum, I suppose.
Oh, that'd be interesting to find.
Yeah, it would.
Did you ever go on it?
No. Oh, we went on it, when it was operational across the air, yes.
What was that like?
It was okay, but it depended on the tide, and sometimes you'd wait 4 hours for the tide to be high enough to...
Really?
Yeah. And then on my Vespa scooter, we went on holiday down to Bournemouth and that sort of area. And when we came back, when they went to put it on the ferry, It skidded off the ferry into the water. Oh, glory be.
What, your scooter?
My scooter, yeah. So everyone grabbed it and got it back on, and I was terrified that the engine wouldn't work because it had been underwater. But when we got to the other side, thank goodness it was okay. But we nearly lost it. We really nearly lost it.
That was lucky.
Yeah. The back wheel just skidded off. There was quite a lot of mud on the ramp.
Yeah.
And it got in, and we were driving. My husband was standing alongside it, driving it up onto the thing, and the back wheel just shit into
oh,
the water. Oh boy, happy days. I'd forgotten about that, yeah.
See, when I see pictures of it, it looks completely open. What did you do when it was crossing? Was there somewhere you could sit inside?
No. You just stayed in your car.
But you had a motorbike.
Well, you stayed with your motorbike. Fair enough. You couldn't get in a motorbike. I appreciate that. We just stood there until we got the other side. Only a couple of minutes. And,
was that what it was? Because it looks very...
Oh, it didn't take long.
Precarious.
Precarious was probably right. But it was the way everybody crossed was, yeah, on the ferry.
Yeah.
Unless you want to go all up around Gloucester and come down, yeah, again, yeah.
The long way around.
Yeah. So we used to, yeah. Yes, and then, of course, there's many a time that... we were in the queue to go on the ferry, and there'd be only a couple of cars in front of us, and by then the level of the water would have dropped too much, and we had to sit there for 4 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and we did that a couple of times, sat for 4 hours. Oh,
I mean, dear. Was there somewhere to have a cup of tea or a nice...
No. The other side there was.
Yeah.
There was a cafe there, and a sort of a shop as well.
Yeah.
And you could get a drink there and buy sweets and whatnot, but not this side. Only the other side, yeah.
So just where exactly was the ferry? Where did it come in? Was it by...
It was where...
Tubbrook?
It was under the old Severn Bridge.
Okay.
It was just a couple of yards either side of the old Severn Bridge. Mm. It was the ramp up, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember when the first bridge opened?
I remember it was 1966, and it was because I was expecting Hayden then, and it was about April time. He was born in December, but I was just expecting him when it opened. That was the old one. The new one, I can't remember when it opened. Mm. Yeah, now they've taken the tolls away.
I know, it's fantastic, yeah. Isn't it?
It didn't affect me because I got a blue badge anyway, but... So I didn't have to pay to cross the bridge anyway.
Well,
but
we didn't have to wait at the toll booth anymore.
Oh, you had to wait at the toll booth until you showed the badge and they took the particulars and then let you go.
Mm.
But now, of course, there's no tolls at all now.
No. Mm. You've got a lot of stories, Pam, haven't you? I never thought of that.
I really didn't, no.
It's an interesting perspective, though, you know, yeah. The diggers and the big infrastructure projects you were involved with.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a big building in Newport Road in Cardiff, Heron House. And we did all the foundations for that. And because it was such a big building, it had a very deep foundations.
Yeah.
And we had to... dig ourselves onto a platform where the digger could stand, and then dig down a bit further and stand on that platform until we were right at the level where they wanted the foundations to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yep. Yes.
Did you ever operate a digger yourself?
A digger?
Yeah.
Only round the yard in, you know, when not out on site ever, but if I could drive them round the yard if they wanted to move from here to there, sort of thing.
Yeah. So are there any other stories you'd like to add?
Or I can't think
you
of
met
any.
Or characters you met? Or
No. No. Our MP, Paul Flynn, has died recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved with him on... We had a yard... building a yard down the bottom, and when we moved out of there, the people who took it on, rented it, but not from us, from we rented it and they rented it after. And they wanted to do something, I can't even remember what it was, but it was against the planning laws anyway. And I had to go to a meeting with Paul Flynn and a lot of other interested people and say my piece, and that was it. And a couple of years later, there was something going on, and there were plans of it in the village hall, just going down from Castleton, just as on the bend, there's the village hall. And as I say, it was a couple of years later, and I was very impressed, because when I went in, Paul Flynn was there, but I didn't know he was until I got in. And the first thing he said was, "Ah, Mrs. Robertson, how are you?" And I was amazed with all the people that he'd met, that he knew my name, or remembered my name.
That's a good politician, isn't it?
Yeah, a very, very good politician, yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he was great. And my friend, who is an accountant, she's just got a small business doing farmers' accounts and whatnot, and one of her clients had two Polish workers, and they were going home the next day, but when they had come into the country, they'd had to give in their passport to the Home Office, and they had all their tickets to go the next day, and the Home Office couldn't find the passport.
Oh, no.
So my friend Jennifer said, "What am I going to do, Pam?" And I said, "Well, why don't you ring Paul Flynn, see if he can help?" So she said, "We won't be able to help with that." I said, "Well, try him." So she rang and spoke to his secretary, which was a man, and within 2 hours, the passports came by courier to her house.
Wow, well, that's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is impressive.
He was a very, very good MP. He'd be sorely missed. I think he was 84, I think.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yeah, he really was. He was older than me, but not a lot older.
He wasn't still in office, though. He wasn't still in office.
He was, yes, until he died, yes.
Wow. That's...
But he wasn't going to stand at the next election, but we never got there. Well, not yet. We haven't anyway, with all this Brexit nonsense.
Oh, gosh. Have you got any photographs of your dairy days?
No, none at all.
No,
we were never much of a family for taking photographs. I got a lovely one of my pony, but that's all. I must be mad, because this photograph is, she was a very fiery pony out of Cross Welsh Mountain. She really was very feisty. And it's over there, I'll show you before you go.
Yeah.
She's standing in the middle of the road with no one holding her outside my parents' house.
Oh.
And I don't know how we could have been nuts enough to leave her standing on her own, because she was quite capable of whipping round on her hind legs and galloping off up the street.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember ever taking the photograph, but I had a big birthday party last year.
Yeah.
And my friend, who I used to ride with when we were kids, she had this photograph of her that she gave me. It was absolutely super.
So you're a rider then?
Yeah. Had horses all my life. I've still got one now, but it's out on permanent loan. Yeah.
So where did you ride?
Everywhere, around the country lanes here.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much traffic on the roads then as there is now, of course. Yep. Yeah, Dawn and I had a Welsh cob between us called Lucky. What a stupid name to give a horse. But we rode a lot, Dawn rode a lot, and just have fun riding, yeah.
Would you ever jump over the reins on a horse?
No.
No.
No, I didn't fancy getting wet. Although I did get very wet once. When I was a teenager, I kept my pony out at St Fagans.
Yeah.
Where the museum is now.
Yeah.
And... And one day, I was riding a bareback, and one day she took off for the riverbank and on the river, and she stopped in two bang bang, and I went clean over her head into the water. And then she came into the water and got out on the bank the other side. Do you think I could get her to come back through the river? No, she didn't. So me soaking wet, bareback, just a bridle on her, had to get on and ride her right round the outskirts of Cardiff to come back down the other side of the river, back to the first river bridge.
Really?
She wouldn't go back through the water.
God.
Oh, we had some fun, mind. We really did. She was a marvellous pony. And then she was killed on the Marshfield Road. I'd had her 15 years.
Yeah.
And we went to my niece's christening on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were there, she was in a field from the back of Marshfield. Someone had let her out of the field and a car had hit her and broken her leg.
Oh.
And it was, oh, I was devastated. I mean, I loved it a bit.
That's a sad end, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. It was horrible.
Oh.
Absolutely horrible. There we are, all in the past.
Well, Pam, that was absolutely amazing. I'm just going to switch this off.
Right.
That's nearly an hour. That's amazing.
Good Lord, yes, it is, isn't it?